I'm Avi Arditi with Roseanne Skirbel, and this week on Wordmaster, we talk with Pat O'Connor, co-author with her husband Stuart Kellerman, of a new book called Origins of the Specious, Myths and Misconceptions of the English Language.
But first, here's a question for you. Which would you say, all debts are cleared between you and I, or all debts are cleared between you and me? Is I or me the correct object? According to Pat O'Connor, for centuries, either one would have been fine. Shakespeare, you should know, used I when he included that line in The Merchant of Venice.
But later, the rule books got rewritten. Pat O'Connor says some people in the 19th century, probably influenced by rules for Latin, began to argue that I was wrong. Well, you know what I mean. Which leads to a question that Pat O'Connor gets asked a lot. Who decides what's right? She says, we all do.
Well, if something becomes a common enough usage, it becomes the accepted usage. Take the word agenda, for instance. As recently as the 19th century, it was a plural word. It meant the items on a list. Someone might have said to you, what are your agenda for our meeting? Later, the word agenda became used as a singular for the list itself rather than the items on the list. And similarly, the words media and data are now changing. They're on the cusp of changing. Data, I think, is over the edge. It's very seldom used as a plural anymore. Even the New York Times has changed its policy on that. It now has come to mean information as a whole.
How does a person learning English as a foreign language or someone who knows English quite well as a native speaker know what's right? It's not always what sounds right, or is it?
It depends on how well-read you are, what you hear when you're growing up, and those sorts of things. But I think for someone learning English as a second language, the best thing you can do is to acquire a good, up-to-date dictionary of American English. Say the American Heritage 4th edition or the Merriam-Webster's Collegiate 11th edition, something like that that's always being updated, and read the fine print. These things do change. For example, 50 years ago, if you looked in a dictionary for how to pronounce the word spelled N-I-C-H-E, you would have seen only one proper English pronunciation, and that is niche. A lot of people don't realize this. They think that niche is the only correct pronunciation. In fact, niche evolved as an error. It was a Frenchification of the word. People looked at it. It looked French. They started pronouncing it as if it were French. It made it into dictionaries because it became so common. And now dictionaries give two pronunciations.
And you write that niche is now forcing out niche.
It is. It's inching ahead.
Of something that we consider here at Wordmaster very colloquial, is ain't. Mm-hmm. And in your according to your book, it hasn't always been considered bad English.
No, it was formed around the early 1600s. With a huge class of other contractions, don't, can't, isn't, and ain't was one of them. It was a contraction for two sets of words, for am not and are not. And it was originally spelled A apostrophe N-T or A apostrophe N apostrophe T. Perfectly legitimate. The problem was in the late 1700s, people started using it as a contraction for is not. And then in the 1800s, they started using it as a contraction for have not and has not, as in I ain't got my my wallet with me, or he ain't here. Well, as soon as it got too big for its britches, ain't lost its reputation for legitimacy. Its parentage just could not be traced. And so it's been considered a grammatical no-no since sometime in the 19th century.
Pat O'Connor's newest book is Origins of the Specious, Myths and Misconceptions of the English Language. We'll talk more with her next time.
And that's Wordmaster for this week. With Roseanne Skirbel, I'm Avi Arditi.